Welcome to Turning Point. I'm Scott Catoon, and keep me honest today is my co-host, Anne Marie. As always, we've got a great show for you today. Joining us is branding expert and AE Marketing Group CEO, Brian Walker. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott. I'm glad to be here. Hi, Anne Marie.
Hi. I'm so excited. This is so organic, by the way. This happened on Thursday.
We're literally after
we were done. He had just spoken at Braintrust for the Bunker Labs.
Yeah.
And he comes in the office, and we start speaking, and I go, do you want to be on the show next week?
It's just that easy.
Well, he's just, he was so inspiring when he spoke at the Epic, so it just, it makes sense.
The bar has been set high
for you. She fits where it.
Well, thank you, and I've seen a lot of your shows, so I see why the bar is high.
Wow. That's the most, no one normally comes on here and compliments our show. They might say something nice about, well, mostly you, but.
Yeah, usually
you know,
it's mostly about me.
Although, the last episode.
No, the last
Peyton,
one, that
was
totally
all
BS.
About me. What?
I'm still not over that.
It's all good.
Beyond the good content, if I can just say, you guys are like the best looking dynamic duo on radio.
Yeah.
You're the best looking
on radio.
On radio.
We're the best looking duo on radio. We got a little high five. Best looking duo. You know what? That's why we brought this video element in. You could have said we should be on TV with those looks.
Well, that's the next step, right?
But you don't want to be a liar, so you know, I don't want to get myself
that's a
in trouble.
Man.
Oh, my goodness. So there's a bunch of stuff we can talk about here. Obviously, I'd like to have Anne Marie kind of lead the conversation with regard to what you heard at Epic and why you thought he'd be an awesome guest.
There's a lot of things. So Brian spoke, was it 2 weeks ago? Three weeks ago.
Yeah, two or three weeks ago.
So I volunteer with the Epic program, right? Yep. Justin Walker had asked me to do this, and it took 30 seconds for me to say yes, and you know that I'm just obviously masochist. So I go there every Wednesday from 5:30 to like about 8:30.
And then it moves over to Shamrock.
And just like, yeah, just, what'd you say?
Then it moves over to Shamrock from like 8:30 to like midnight.
No, it's not. Well, actually, yesterday it did with Will. But I will say, like, normally not so much. But, you know, AM's dealing with a little stuff right now. So moving forward, Brian spoke about a lot of stuff. I relate with him because I was not in finance when I went to college. I was actually in psychology, which helps my career in a different spot. And when Brian started speaking about how he never actually went to school for marketing, but found a niche based off of his own personal, like, amazingness. I don't know the better way to put it, of like a need. And he saw the gap to fill. That made me inspired by him.
Yeah.
And so when he was speaking about that, it was very organic. And I think that not everything's taught in school. I have to actually speak at my high school tomorrow, which is hilarious.
Oh, it's tomorrow.
Dude. She's like, where'd you graduate? I'm like, I didn't.
Well, I thought we were here to talk. Wait, graduate? Are we?
But the point being, so back to Brian, is that, you know, he found a void and he filled it. And he did it with his heart and his passion. And so I love that. So that's why he is here right now.
I think it's great. Why don't you walk us through a little bit? Sort of like, obviously, you said your finance background. And then what drew you to marketing? I'm interested to find out that.
Well, it's interesting, like Anne Marie said, and up until probably a year ago, I never told anybody that I've never taken a marketing class, never took a communications class, never took an advertising class. To me, I went to school for politics and law and thought I was going to be a lawyer, and the idea of debt frightened me, so I went out of school and didn't go into law school. I went to work in technology and sales and business development. And so early on in my first part of the career, I was really lucky because to me, it was all about how do you solve business problems and then how do you sell and grow revenue as a result of that. So flash forward to where we are now, a long time later, it helps me a lot knowing that I had this solution selling background and mentality. And prior to starting AE Marketing Group, I spent about 10 years in the agency business. And there, brand is all about creative marketing and advertising. And I looked at that always as wrong. To me, your brand is as much about your products, your services, your experiences, your employees. It's truly a business function. Yeah. It's not a marketing function. As I was joking with Anne Marie before we came on, who really cares how great your advertising is if your products suck, if your employees are rude? And to me, it's about how do we build out the business side of the brand and how do we help those companies grow? And that's where I kind of saw the market niche. And to me, it's less about the creative and it's more about the business side of things.
Well, I mean, like I've actually said this to numerous people. I say this to a lot of the startup guys that I work with every once in a while. I tell them branding is important for everyone unless you're adverse to selling or dating.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely
true. You don't know how to advertise
true.
Yourself and market yourself. You got nothing, bro. I'm serious. She's laughing at me. It's true.
I'm just laughing because it reminds me of the Tinder moment. And I said, if I have to go on Tinder and I don't get swiped right, someone's like, if you don't get swiped right, I'm having a lot more problems than I thought I did.
I don't want to get into my Tinder experiences. And I don't think we should, to be totally honest. But Brian, I will tell you, you know what? I have to because this
hey,
is so good.
Take the mic and throw it down because it's reverb.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know where it's at. One of the things I think is particularly interesting is with regard to Tinder, as I actually was downtown the other day, and I heard two dudes arguing because they both swiped right and matched on the same girl, and she said yes to dates with both of them, and they
oh,
were literally
fantastic.
Cursing at each other, and I was laughing, and I was like, you know what, you guys need some distinguishing marketing. One of you guys is just not like standing
what's your,
out.
Yeah, what's your point of difference?
So let's talk about point of difference. So when we talk from a Tinder standpoint, we'll move this right on to business.
Oh,
what do you
fantastic.
See with a lot of the clients? You know, what are your clients look like? What you know, what's a typical
they're,
client?
They're typically Fortune 2000 companies. Most of them are consumer facing, and so while we're simultaneously helping them operationalize their brand, we do a lot of co-creation and help them design new products and services with their customers.
So what would you say would be one of the most common problems that you're noticing with regard to what these brands, you know, how they are before they come to you?
Well, kind of like I said earlier, I think one, they put too much emphasis on marketing and advertising and creative.
Yeah.
Which is so counter.
Yeah,
because that's what
totally
you
counterintuitive.
Do.
Yeah,
it is. And what's funny is people say, well, do you still do creative work? And I say, sure. But, you know, to me, let's get the house in order before we go out and start marketing it. So a few other things that I think they do is they're struggling with trying to figure out how do they better connect with consumers today. I mean, here we are joking about Tinder, but, you know, technology has made consumers have all the power with brands. Consumers' attention spans are short. Competition is fierce and markets are always changing. So I don't think you can really rely on legacy marketing styles to try to be able to penetrate that market. And that's where areas like the experience side, the co-creation side, I think can really help differentiate companies and better engage them with their consumers and create experiences together.
What do you think about that?
I actually like that. I mean, it just sounds just how we were speaking before. You're taking an organic approach.
For sure.
You're going on the personal aspect as opposed to the mass consumer.
Yeah, and I think if you talk to consumers, they say they want a lot of that one-on-one. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody wants to be part of a research sample size. No one wants to be in a focus group with a hidden mirror and a hidden microphone.
So you do make money off of a focus group. My girlfriend actually was unemployed and she made a lot of money off of a focus group.
There is a lot of money there, but you know, I think there's more money over time if you can give those same people that are sitting at a focus group table a seat at the design table.
Everyone wants to feel appreciated at the end of the day, and they want to be respected and they want to feel that. And so when you can master that in a marketing path, like in the way that you have done that, Brian, the sky's not the limit. I always say that and I need to find another, but that's kind of like my thing. But it's awesome. When you can figure out how to make people feel important without necessarily knowing their first name or anything like that, and you're not trying to like, you know, be shady or anything, but it's an organic way of going about business. And there needs to be more of that in this industry in general, let alone what you're doing right now. So,
yeah, and there was a IBM just did a CMO study, chief marketing officers.
Who did?
IBM.
Yeah.
Of chief marketing officers here in 2016. And some of the most leading brands and CMOs are using things like co-creation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're far ahead of most companies because they generally want to talk at the market. They generally want to tell the market what they think they want instead of kind of bringing them into the tent. And that's where I think is a big opportunity also for companies and brands today.
Hmm. I think everything is experiential at this point. Like to your point before, when you talked about the fact that companies that are relying on a legacy brand or on this, you know, golden shield, it is my company that you're supposed to follow. People don't care about that anymore. And people, I mean, companies, this used to be like a huge no-no to change your brand, to change colors. And you see, I'm not sure I like it, but you see Uber reshaping everything.
Yeah, I don't understand their logo.
Nobody does.
Did you see their logo?
I did. I've been asked a lot about that.
I don't get it.
We're told that in a few years we will.
Oh, geez, Luis.
See, yeah, you see that line? That's a good line.
Are you kidding right now?
Sort of.
Are you being sincere?
No, yeah. I mean, seriously, the actual founder of Uber.
It is so SUIPD. It's not even funny.
I can't disagree with you.
Yeah, I you know, it's interesting. I mean, everybody knows who Uber is, so for them to go out and change their logo,
yeah, right in the middle.
A lot of the design elements of that just seem a little unnecessary. But
right, maybe like so let's speak about marketing. So like color theory is huge in marketing, right?
I think that's more of a legacy thing.
It's
personally,
dark green, and it's supposed to be city based.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
I would have went gray because honestly, there's nothing dark green in the city of Chicago.
We should have started the conversation with Uber, I think, because I mean, I feel like, listen, aesthetically, I don't like it.
Like,
I don't like the look at it at all.
I couldn't find it on my phone.
I couldn't either. In fact, apparently they've been getting a bunch of calls about that. Yeah. I thought it looked like Chase, J.P. Morgan.
Yeah, a little bit. And the actual founder of Uber actually had a very heavy role in the design, the redesign of this, which could be good and it could also be disastrous. It might be stupid in this particular case. But one of the things that I'm going to go ahead and just say, let's see how things work out, right? Who knows? Maybe it'll grow on you. It won't. But let's pretend
that
it will.
Now you know what it is because it's on your phone. You don't have a choice.
But. Well, yeah. But to your point from going way back to the beginning of this, when we talk about experiential, I feel like in the past, if you're living almost entirely on legacy, you would never, ever, ever in a million years, particularly with the success that they had in such a quick time, would have changed your logo of all things. I mean, that's you just assume people
in
are
the midst
follow you.
Of
yes,
success.
But I think it's a new. I think we're in a new place now where the logo can't just be this stagnant thing like Google. Google just did it too. I mean, they didn't do it as drastically, but in changing the name of their company to Alphabet and having hubs and mixing it up where people generally would in the past would have been like, whoa. Like,
yeah, but that's cute. I like
no,
that.
Well, but see, that's because you like the design of it, which that's a whole other point.
Well, I appreciate that they honor people every day too.
Yes, there's a lot of cool things, but the point that I'm getting at though is I think that we are now in a place where our marketing and our branding and our everything needs to change along with where we are. And in some cases, maybe right or wrong, need to be a step ahead of where we are today. And the experience of why Uber's app or app logo and things look stupid right now could be that in the very near future, that logo will make sense. It'll be ahead because I believe this is what I had read, that it may be the head of a driverless car. So what you're looking at is,
they had a U for the.
I know,
logo.
I know. I'm not the design.
It can't get any more. But it can't get easier.
But who knows?
Brian, please
save me.
Jump in on this.
No, I think you're spot on. Clearly, you were the one that took the marketing class, not me. Because what really the reality is, the logo. While we can all agree or disagree whether or not it visually looks good.
I still brought
an Uber to come here this morning.
Yep.
I'm sure someone else is.
And we're talking about Uber on the show now, so it worked.
Yeah, and to me, it's more about the experience. Does the app work when it says? Does the driver come when they say it's going to come? I care a hell of a lot more about that than whether or not they used dark green, light green, you know, gray, what have you.
You have to be able to find it, Brian.
For sure. And I think that's a short-term issue for them.
Sure.
I think it could create a little bit of confusion, but long-term, I don't think it's necessarily going to matter.
For like
a
50-year-old person, that's going to be a little bit longer than a short-term
confusion.
You
know what? I'll add one more thing to it. You know what I like about it? Because I'm a stubborn person and I'm very prideful. They didn't change it. After people were like, what is this? I don't like it. People are freaking out. Normally, companies and like kind of individuals will go back and be like, I'm sorry, and I don't know what we're thinking. We changed the color.
I actually appreciate that.
Well, you know.
That's like stick to your guns.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like if you had a reason for it, there was something for it. Don't let other people's opinions shape how you do it. Obviously, if the sales go down, you may need to go relook at that.
But. Okay, let's hold on a second. Let's go back to Brian's company.
Let's.
If you had Uber as a client, what would you do?
To me, I'd work more about the actual experience itself. Like I was just saying, you know, making sure that the app works better in terms of when they estimate they're going to come pick you up. I take Uber, God, probably 5, 6, 7 times a week. And I'm always miffed, especially with UberX, about how poor their map technology is and how long it takes you to get from point A to point B.
Yep.
So again, that's where I care more about a brand is, you know, are we delivering the type of experience? Are we meeting Scott's expectations?
No.
Meeting Emery's expectations? And what are some areas there we can refine? I think the other stuff, while it could cause some confusion and it's a little bit important, it's a little bit more window dressing. So I think to me, I'd say, let's continue to get the experience process down right.
Brian, what do you think that differentiates you from other marketing companies?
Well, as we talked a little bit about, I think one of the things is around looking at brand from a business lens across the entire organization.
Give an example so that people that aren't understanding marketing would be
sure.
Great.
So
thanks.
So we're coming up on our 5-year anniversary, and a few years back, we were hired by a health insurance company to help rebrand them. And, you know, I think that's an industry where most people have had crappy experiences. They don't necessarily like their health insurance company. And I said, okay, well, we can go out and we can design a bunch of great ads for you, but why don't we look at the overall business side of the health insurance company? And we said, what if you could commit to ending the jargon and you stripped away all the confusion and all the language around coinsurance and copay and HRA and HSA and all the stuff that smart people like the three of us don't even understand? And if you could strip all that down and rebuild your organization from the inside out and speak in a language that people around a radio station table or a kitchen table could actually understand, that'll have a much greater impact than doing some new ads. So that's the journey that we went on. So we helped them look at areas of the operation where they needed to change that. They retrained all their salespeople. They rewrote a lot of their content and material. And this is a smaller size health plan that then went from last to first in the marketplace. And we won the highest brand awards at the 33rd Annual Tele Awards for doing that.
Wow, that's awesome.
And again, it's like anybody can do ads and creative, and there's a role for that. There certainly is. I'm not knocking that. But to me, I really want to focus on the business side of building the brand. That's why I love the idea also of co-creation. You know, everyone wants to talk about, you know, they used to talk about social media, and now they're talking about customer experience or content marketing. And as you were just saying earlier, Scott, how do you stay ahead of that curve? And I think, you know, always trying to look at ways to be able to do that is something that I would say also looks very different about us. You know, I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a business person first. I'm a marketer second. So and that's a culture that I want to bleed into the organization.
Can I? I kind of want to touch on that because it's so evident how passionate you are about spreading the love of intelligence and expertise of the things that you've gone through and the turning points that you've had. You've had a company for 5 years now. So we met through the EPIC program, right? You were not a military veteran, correct?
I am not.
Okay. So can you kind of speak about where your passion comes with working with entrepreneurs, regardless of them being civilians or military veterans?
Sure. You know, when I started the company 5 years ago, my vision was all about building community. And over time, we've been able to work with a number of different groups and individuals, both here locally, nationally, and globally, because to me, community is really everything about giving support, sharing ideas, collaboration, et cetera. And I happened to stumble upon the Bunker Labs because I was giving a talk at the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program. And someone said, hey, come over and meet the folks at the Bunker Labs. And really, it comes back to anything that you do that's philanthropic-based or giving back, where I get as much reward out of helping mentor, like I know you do as well, because mm-hmm. you give a lot of time there also.
So does Scott. Scott doesn't talk about it enough.
I always see
does.
You moving all over 1871.
I'm sliding around, man.
Yeah, are a fast mover and shaker. But this is the most I've ever seen you sit still. So
it's the most I've sat still.
You don't know what he's doing under the desk.
But I think it gets back to I wrote my own journey recently about the last 5 years, and you know I started with nothing, and I didn't have a network. I didn't have a community. I didn't have a mentor. None of my friends had started a business, so I didn't really know who to go to. Mm-hmm. And I
was in that same exact boat.
Yeah. And it's hard, right?
It is.
And because I say anybody can start a business, but can you stay in business?
Yeah.
And so the more you're bringing community people together through things like what Todd and Justin and their team are doing at the Bunker Labs or the folks that Howard and everyone is doing at 1871, mm-hmm. I think it's great to be able to have that network mm-hmm. to help build success. And, you know, I it really fuels me, and it partly because – like we said, we didn't have that. So it's a great way, I think, to kind of give back and share some of the lessons. Because I think on the outside, I know the three of us are unique in terms of some of what we do. And I think on the outside, everyone thinks they can work in a startup.
Sure.
Everyone thinks they're an entrepreneur. You know, everyone thinks they're this or that.
It's and a little bit of a facade.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. It's you know, it's been an incredibly rewarding, but it's been a really hard journey.
Yeah.
And, you know,
well, we were just talking about that in the green room.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. You could lose a lot of stuff being
an
entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I think it's that's it's that experience that is the passion that drives trying to help other people do it without having to go through quite as much pain. I want them to suffer a little bit.
Self-sacrificing.
Yeah, I want them to suffer a little bit. You got to, you know, somebody's got to pay some dues, you know. But I do want to help them be able to help people get to a position where maybe they don't have to go from absolutely zero scratch like I did and you did and have to and you did too. Yeah. Like have to literally just, boy, it's all on you. That's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of stress sometimes. But
one last point before
we wrap up. Question.
If you can give one piece of advice to an entrepreneur that maybe is passionate about something that they didn't educate themselves in, quote unquote, through school, what would be that one sentence that you would give them? You like that?
That's a loaded question to have a one sentence answer.
You can always change it next
six
time
words.
You're on.
No,
you can change it next time you're on the show.
No. You know what I'd say is that, you know, outside of sleep, I think humans will work more than do anything in their lives, unfortunately. So I would tell somebody to really wrap their heads around something that they're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's business, it's brands, and it's philanthropy. Mm-hmm. So how can you connect what you're passionate about and apply that to your work? And I know that might sound a little cliche, but I think if you can mesh those two together, it's going to make those hard times when it is all on you and you don't know what you're going to do and you're freaking out or you're losing loved ones and people don't want to talk to you. People have never heard of who you are. Mm-hmm. I think stuff like that gets you through because it brings some meaning to what you do every day.
Do you see like the pattern of every time someone's on the show?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, we run late. No, it's all good. No,
that was great, Brian.
This was
thank
great.
You. Thank you.
Well said. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Anne-Marie, for joining us. Well, you know, you're busy. It's all good. Don't worry about it.
Sorry, Mike.
You can watch this episode
and
more.
I don't think I said it. No, we need to get his info to say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. What are we doing?
Can you please give us your contact information?
Where do we get in touch with you and A Group?
Oh, great. I love a self-promotion plug. Thank you. AEMarketingGroup.com. I'm on Twitter at Brian Walker Chai, as in Chicago. Email me at brian@aemarketinggroup.com.
I don't know if I would have done that
one.
We're number three in WGN now.
You get spammed. It's
Yeah, I should have given the info at.
Info at.
Yeah, or grab me at 1871 Chicago.
Nice.
Sounds good. Now we can do it. You can watch this episode and more at Advisor TV. Stream us on the WGN Plus app or download each episode on iTunes. And remember to stay connected by following us on Twitter at WGN Turning Point.